Our New Testament lesson continues with verse 15 from Luke 1. Where we left off, the angel Gabriel was talking to Zechariah about the birth of his son. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of their parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This story of Zechariah and Elizabeth is perhaps one of the most mysterious and holy stories in the Bible. In today's message, we will hear about Elizabeth and Zechariah and the birth of their son, John. For context, it's important to know that John and Jesus were cousins. John was born at about the same time as Jesus, and John was unjustly executed shortly before Jesus was crucified. Elizabeth and Zechariah were Jews who lived in the nation of Judea, and Herod was their king. Both Herod and Judea were under the dominion of Rome. Roman soldiers patrolled their streets. The Roman insignia of an eagle was on all their public buildings, and Roman rule dictated the lives of all the people. The Jews hated the Romans, and Herod was not very well liked either. And in the midst of this incredible political tension, some great and unusual things were happening in the lives of Elizabeth and Zechariah. Elizabeth and Zechariah had been married for many years, and they had long prayed for children, but Elizabeth was barren. And now they were advanced in years, and her time for bearing children was long past. In those days, being barren was considered a sign of disgrace and even a punishment from God. But in the midst of that, Elizabeth and Zechariah continued to serve God faithfully. They were devout Jews. Elizabeth's ancestry could be traced back to the daughters of Aaron. Aaron was Moses' brother. You can read about him in the Old Testament. She could be traced back to the daughters of Aaron. Zechariah was a high priest in the temple. And Luke 1:6 said that they were righteous before God and blameless in all of the commands and ordinances of the Lord. Now, being blameless before the Lord does not mean that they were sinless. Romans 3:23 tells all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So Zechariah and Elizabeth were not sinless, but they were considered blameless. They were faithful and sincere in keeping God's commandments. They were obedient to God's laws. They continually trusted in God's promises to bless those who remained faithful to him. And in their faithfulness and in their devout loyalty to God, God saw them blameless. As a priest, Zechariah was chosen by lottery that particular year to place incense on the altar of the Lord. The incense, when it was burning, the smoke of the incense symbolized the prayers of the people. And the Bible says that when the time for burning the incense came, all of the assembled worshipers were outside praying. Zechariah was inside the temple, and he was standing at the altar of the incense when the angel Gabriel appeared to him. The angel Gabriel was a messenger from God sent to tell Zechariah that his prayers and Elizabeth's prayers for a child had been heard by God. Elizabeth would bear a son, and this particular son had a purpose from God to fulfill. God would answer their prayers. Then the angel went on, the Bible tells us, to instruct Zechariah on how to raise his son. Never drink wine or fermented drink of any kind. What to name him? His name would be John. And that this child's life, this man's life, was to follow the example of the great prophet Elijah. That's what John was born for. His task in life was to follow the example of the great prophet Elijah. John would be a prophet. This is important because God had been silent for 400 years. Malachi was the last prophet that the people had heard. 400 years of silence from God, and now John would be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth and would preach a message of repentance that would turn people from their sins and prepare them for the coming of the long-promised Messiah, who would be the King of the Jews. The Jews were ready. They were looking for a new king. They remembered the words of the prophet Jeremiah, who said, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his day, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety." You can read about that in Jeremiah 23:5. The people were standing on that promise and they were ready. The Jews hoped that this long-promised Messiah would lead them out from under the tyranny of Rome. When the angel told Zechariah that he and his wife would have a baby in their old age, Zechariah reacted the way many of us would. He asked the question, "Well, how can I be sure of this?" He was asking for a sign from the angel to prove who he was and to prove that what he said would happen would really happen. Zechariah trusted God. But when the time came for Zechariah to prove his trust in God's promise, Zechariah fell short. I think many of us would do the same thing. We believe in God and we trust God to a point. And we're quick to say, "How can I be sure? Show me a sign to know that what you say is true. Give me a fleece." The angel responded by identifying himself as a messenger from God. And the angel told Zechariah that he would be rendered silent and not be able to speak until the child was born. The angel said, "Because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Zechariah asked for a sign. He got one. He was rendered silent. Zechariah could not speak and from then on would need a writing tablet to communicate with other people until the baby was born. Elizabeth was rejoicing. Her faithfulness to God would be rewarded and the disgrace of her barrenness would be removed. Elizabeth would no longer be seen as a failure. Elizabeth rejoiced in the joy of answered prayer, and she knew that a miracle was taking place in her life and in the life of the Jewish people. It was on the eighth day after John was born that the baby was circumcised. That was also the time when the child would be named. And the relatives were arguing with Elizabeth about what the child should be named. The expectation was that he would be named Zechariah after his father. Elizabeth said, "No, his name is John." They turned to Zechariah to settle the dispute, and Zechariah, who could not speak, took his tablet, wrote decisively on the tablet, and laid down the law. He said, "His name is John." And then suddenly, Zechariah was able to speak again, and Zechariah immediately began to praise God with joy, and he became filled with the Holy Spirit, and he began to prophesy the purpose and the life of his son, John. As we reflect on this story, there are so many things that we can learn from Elizabeth and Zechariah. We can learn not to presume upon God by either always seeing the struggles in our life as evidence of sin or on calling on God to bless us with everything that we want, right when we want it. Elizabeth teaches us to take our grief over our disappointments to God, and also to take our rejoicing to God as well. Zechariah teaches us to not ask God to prove himself, just to believe. As I think on this account, I've come to realize that sometimes underestimating God is as wrong as rebelling against God. Our sin may not be a matter of blatantly doing something wrong, but being hesitant to pursue righteousness, being hesitant to trust completely in the Lord. We need to be constantly growing and moving on in our faith journey with Christ. God teaches us through the events of Elizabeth and Zechariah the importance of trusting in God's timetable and God's plan for our personal and spiritual welfare, and for the welfare of all of our loved ones as well. We need to be trusting God to be working out his plans for his church. This is the season of Advent. This is the season when we remember Jesus' first coming and we prepare for Jesus to return. We are the people, we in the church are the people who live in the season of God's grace. We live in a season also of repentance. God still provides people like Elizabeth and Zechariah who are faith-filled and obedient. God still provides people like John to warn us of the need for repentance. God still offers people salvation from their sins through faith in his only Son, Jesus, who's coming again we prepare for today. The Bible tells us that every time someone repents and turns to Jesus in faith, the angels rejoice. What also happens is that every time someone repents and turns to Jesus in faith, God takes hold of the history of their lives and not only rewrites their story day by day, but also removes the disgrace that has been brought about by sin. When God forgives us, we must change and continually turn from our sins, or else it will be like we are rejecting God's love and sacrifice. When we repent, we show that we trust God. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27 is a promise from God. God says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. God still keeps his promises. We can trust God's word. God gives us so many opportunities to reflect and to remember his grace and his presence in our lives. God continually brings us to the place of repentance so that we can be forgiven and we can be prepared to be welcomed into heaven when we meet Jesus face to face. God also gives us the opportunities to point people to Jesus and to share God's love and God's grace with other people. Through our conversations, through our interactions, through our prayers. It's important that we take this time of Advent, these 4 weeks before Christmas, to prepare the way for people to receive Jesus as their Messiah and Lord. It's important for us to do that with lives of integrity, with words of hope, with attitudes of expectation and anticipation, as we watch for God's promises to be fulfilled all around us. Mostly, though, We prepare the way for people to receive Jesus as their Lord by being faithful ourselves to God in our hearts and living with words and attitudes that reflect God's presence in our lives. Part of our celebration with Tom and Lucy was to celebrate their witness for God. Their witness for Jesus is what's made the impact that we remember and celebrate. And that witness for Jesus will continue out in Arizona. Our witness for Jesus needs to continue here. Your witness for Jesus is part of God's plan to give someone else a whole new life of serving Jesus. God is holy. And God inspires awe. Some people reject the trappings of this world and decide for themselves, if in my lifetime I can just love one person and be loved back by that person, I will not have lived in vain. To love and be loved. Another kind of person who rejects the entrapments of this world honestly seeks a personal encounter with the holy, living, almighty God. And that person believes that this encounter will both cause him to have not lived in vain, but will also make him or her a success in both this world and the next. Isaiah 6, verse 1 is where Isaiah says, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And if you go back to Isaiah and read that encounter, that vision that he had, you'll see that Isaiah's vision was marked by three things. First of all, the awe-inspiring spectacle of God's holiness is what Isaiah saw. Isaiah saw the heartbroken confession of his own sin and need. And Isaiah experienced the divine touch of cleansing. Real greatness starts here at the throne of God, where our sin and our need are exposed in the light of God's glorious holiness, and where God's cleansing touch is applied to our needy hearts. Then God can do something with us. Then our hearts can respond to His call on our lives and we can rejoice. If you are seeking God, keep seeking. God will find you. If you are praying, keep praying. God will answer your prayer. If you are living obediently, keep being faithful to God's word. If you are trusting God, keep on trusting. And if there are any of those things that you are not doing, start. Today. Today is the day of preparation. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Glory to God.